long, and I'm excited to deliver this word this morning. As I was getting ready for the message, sometimes as a preacher, you've got to make sure that you're not lifting yourself up, that you're not saying anything about yourself. So this morning, he's not in here, but so this morning in saying that, I'm going to make sure that I'm not going to mention the fact that I won the three-gun competition yesterday at the men's conference. So we're not going to talk about that. We're not going to talk about that I beat all the men from HFA. Not going to talk about that. And we're also not going to talk about the fact that I beat Carol Nash, because that's really all that matters. And I know why he stayed in there a little bit late today, because he knew I was going to say something when I took the mic. So anyway, we're not going to talk about any of that stuff. No, this morning the sermon that is on my heart, the message that's on my heart, guys, has been stewing on me all week long. And how many of us know, you heard me during the transition, sometimes it's we need to sit back and we need to gauge how much we love Jesus. Okay? Because, you know, this weekend we were at the men's conference and he said something that I've never really thought about. And I mean, I have, but I've never thought about it like this. He said that when you're in high school, okay, when I was working out back several years ago, I was working out, I was running all the time, I believe it or not, I had very little body fat. I know that only, you know, I know, but it was true, okay? And it's because I continued to work out. But then after I got relaxed and set back, okay, all this flab came, okay? And sometimes we're like that in our walk with Jesus, okay? Whenever we are working out, whenever we're gung-ho about Jesus and we're going after him, we're seeking him, man, we're in the Word of God, we're praying, every time the doors are open, we're working ourselves out spiritually. But then over time, other things creep into our life, we begin to sit back, and before we know it, our spiritual life has become flabby. And it's not quite as healthy as it used to be. The love that we have is not quite as healthy as it used to be. We know that Jesus Christ loves us. He gave up his life for us. But how much do we love him? So this morning, I want you to flip with me to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. I'm going to use several passages this morning. I'm going to speak out of John chapter 14. I'm going to speak out of John chapter 21. And I'm going to speak out of Luke chapter 7. So in John chapter 14, while you're flipping there, Let me go ahead and open up in prayer. Let me open up in prayer. Jesus, I ask you right now, Father, to come and help me to be your mouthpiece this morning. Lord, we want to lift you up. I want to lift you up. We want your Holy Spirit to be in this room. I want your Holy Spirit to speak through me. I want your Holy Spirit to speak to the hearts of these people. I have no words. There's nothing that I can say to change hearts and lives. But God, I know that you can. So speak through me this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so in John chapter 14, we see here that the first 14 verses... Okay, in the first 14 verses, Jesus is consoling his disciples. His disciples are starting to realize that there's something going on. Okay, he's been telling them that he's going to leave, that he's going to be gone, that he's going to die, and they don't quite understand. Okay, but Jesus is starting to console his disciples, and what he tells them, he says, believe in me, because I'm going to prepare a place for you. He says, believe in me because I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I'm going to come back and get you. But as we read, we see Thomas. And Thomas says, but Lord, we don't know how to get there. We don't know how to get to that place that you're preparing for us. And Jesus consoles him. Jesus says, listen, look at me, Thomas. I am the way. I am the way to get to the place that I'm telling you about. I am the way. I am the way to God. And Philip here is having trouble understanding all this. So Philip says, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. So Jesus is going through all this, telling them, listen, I'm sent from the Father. I'm going to go back to the Father. I'm going to prepare a place for you. If I go to prepare a place for you, I will bring you there. Then they say, well, we don't know how to get there. He says, well, I am the way. Then they say, well, Philip's like, listen, this is too much. Okay? I will believe you. You say you're sent from the Father. Show me the Father. Therefore, I will believe you. That's what it's going to take. So let's look here at the passage that this whole thing is based around. Look with me at verses 18 through 24. John chapter 14, verses 18 through 24. This is Jesus speaking. He says, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you, and before long the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day you will realize that I am in the Father, and that you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me, now this is it right here. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father. I too will love him, and I will show myself to them. I want to read that again. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him, and I will show myself to them. Why is it important to know that Jesus will show himself to us? Proverbs chapter 8, verse 35 says, "For those who find me, find life." For those who find me, find life. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17 through 18. Now listen to this. It says, "Now the Lord is Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom." And it says, "We all who with unveiled faces see the Lord's glory are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory." Okay? So, what we've seen here is that Jesus is telling the disciples, he said, listen, if you love me, okay, if you love me, I am going to show myself to you. And if I show myself to you, we read here in 2 Corinthians why this is important. Why is it important for Jesus to show himself? Why is it important for us to see Jesus? What 2 Corinthians says is, we all who with unveiled faces look upon the Lord's glory, we all with unveiled faces that see the glory of Jesus will be transformed to be more like him. So we're getting into the real root here, okay, of why, and I'm just going to say it, we're getting into the real root here of why we see some church people on fire for Jesus, having life-transforming power inside of them. We see their life changing, and then we see some going through the motions. Don't shout me down. We're going to get to the root of this, because it says we all who see Jesus are being transformed. But how do we see Jesus? By loving him. How much do we love Jesus? You see, if we go back to John chapter 14, we're going to see what Jesus means here. Okay, John chapter 14, read with me in verse 22. It says, "Then Judas," not Judas Iscariot, "said, but Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world?" So we're back here in John chapter 14, and we read a while ago that when Jesus was telling them this, he said, before too long, the world's not going to see me. You're going to see me, but the world is not going to see me. So if I was sitting there, I'd probably ask the same question that he did. I would probably say, why? Why are we going to see you? Why is the world not going to see you? And we see in verse 23, Jesus don't only tell him why, but he tells him what he means. Jesus replied, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them." Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. So, what that's telling me is that if I love Jesus, that Jesus is going to come make his home with me. So what that's saying is, when the Bible says that he's going to make his manifested presence seen to us when we love him, he don't mean that I'm going to see him with my eyes. I've told the youth this several times that you know, and y'all have heard me say this, I hear people stand up, and I believe this happens. I believe this happened in the Bible, okay? But I hear people say they heard the voice of God, literally. And I hear people say that they saw. I don't want God to speak to me like that, because I'm going to freak out, okay? I don't want to see here on earth. I don't want to see. But I know that what Jesus means here is that not with my own two eyes, but that he's going to manifest his presence inside of me. And then when he manifests his presence inside of me, he makes himself known to me, then from the inside out, I begin to be transformed. And it all starts with what? What's the number one command? Love the Lord your God. It all starts that when we love him, then he manifests himself to us, then we begin to change. You see, what this is saying, here's what's happening. This right here is going to make me shout. This is what's happening. The number one commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And what God, what Jesus is telling his disciples right here is that when you follow that command and you love me, my Father wants to reward you. When you follow that command and you love me with everything you have, my Father wants to bless you. And do you know how he blesses you? I'm going to go ahead and tell you right now, he don't bless you with a new car. Okay? Let me tell you how he blesses you. He blesses you with more of his son. He blesses you with more of Jesus. Jesus is saying, when you love me, when you pursue me, when you love me, my Father blesses you by giving you more of me, more of my presence, more of my joy, more of my peace, more of my life-changing power. When you love me, my Father will give you more of me. That's shouting ground this morning. We need more of Jesus in our lives. We must love him. You see, let me get off right here for a second because I'm feeling this strong. If God is telling you that you need to cut something out of your life, and I'm going to get a little ahead of myself, and it's going to sound like I'm repeating here in a second, but I want to say this. If God is telling you right now in this moment that there's something you need to cut out of your life, whether it's an attitude, whether it's a material thing, whether it's a person, whatever it is, if God's telling you that you need to cut something out of your life, the way that we show love to God is by obedience. And then when we obey him, even though it may seem to you like you're losing something that's very important, and you may seem that you can't wake up tomorrow without this certain thing, without this certain person, with that. But what God is saying right here is, if you'll obey me, if you'll follow me, if you'll love me, I promise you, if you'll cut this out of your life, I will give you more of my son. I will give you more of my presence. You see, and this is not to toot my own horn, because there's so many times I have not obeyed God in my life. But I'm going to tell you something, and I don't want this to sound wrong, because y'all know how much me and Jennifer love our family. But I'm going to tell you, about 2 years ago this month, there was an opportunity that arose to come here that at the time was really hard on me, was really hard on Jennifer. And I knew what God was telling me. I knew that he was telling me, if you will be obedient, if you truly love me, you're going to obey me. If you truly love me, I'm going to bless you. And since we made that commitment to move here, the manifested presence of Jesus has been in our lives like never before. And it's all because of obedience. I could have chose. He was not going to make me. Me and Jennifer could have chose to stay in Fordyce, and I can assure you I'd still be going to church on Sundays. I'd still be going to Sunday school. I'd still be praying. But there's not a doubt in my mind that I would not be experiencing the presence of Jesus like I am today. If you feel that God is telling you to cut something out of your life or to put something in it, no matter how hard it seems, if you will do it, if you will be obedient, if you will follow him, his presence will be manifested in your life. You see, his presence, his manifested presence in your life turns failures into successes. It gives you the strength to win those battles that you've been losing. I want you, if you will, to flip with me to John chapter 21. And I'm going to go a little bit on a circle here, but I know that the Holy Spirit's laid this on my heart, so you stick with me. John chapter 21, verses 1 through 6. You see, at this point, Jesus has died. He has resurrected, and at this point, he's getting ready to manifest his presence. He's getting ready to show himself to his disciples after he's resurrected. And we see here in chapter 21, it says, after Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee, it happened this way. The disciples decided to go fishing. Verse 3, it says, I'm going out to fish, Simon Peter told them. And they said, we'll go with you. So they went out and they got into the boat. But that night, they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore. Now, when Jesus is there and you can lay your eyes on Jesus, you can guarantee something's getting ready to happen because his presence is there. And it says, the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, friends, haven't you any fish? No, they answered. He said, throw your net on the right side of the boat, and you'll find some. When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. It says, then the disciples whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, it is the Lord, he wrapped his outer garment around him and jumped into the water. You see, at this point, at this moment, this represents something. You see, you can be a friend of Jesus. You can be coming to church. You can be doing your thing. You can be following the rules and the laws. But when you're in that boat, you're not going to find success. And when I'm talking about success, I'm not talking about worldly success. When I'm talking about success, I'm talking about defeating those chains in your life. I'm talking about stepping out of the presence of the spirits in your life. I'm talking about getting your life right with Jesus. And whenever you're trying to do that work without his presence, you're unsuccessful. But we see here that the presence of Jesus shows up. He manifests himself to them. They throw the net out so full of fish that they cannot even pull it in. Because Jesus will turn your failures into success. He will give you victory. His manifested presence means power. But I want you to notice what he asked Peter. And most of us know this. Look at verse 15. When they had finished eating, this is after the fish, right after they got through fishing. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. You see, this question here had to be hard for Peter. Peter had a whole different outline set of circumstances here why Jesus was asking him this question. Peter had denied Jesus. Peter had done exactly what he told Jesus that he wouldn't do. He had denied him. He had told the people that he didn't know him. So Jesus comes to him and says, do you love me? That's a question we got to ask ourselves today. Do you love me? You see, Peter right then could have said, well, of course I do, Jesus. I'm sitting here with you. I'm sitting here with you. I followed you into the courtyard. None of the other disciples did that. I've been with you for 3 years. Why would you ask me, do I love you? But Jesus knew that that was the most important question he could ask Peter. Do you love me? And you see, once Peter fell in love with Jesus, things changed in Peter's life. We know that Peter, when he followed Jesus into the courtyard, he wasn't real sure yet. He wasn't totally in love yet. He didn't know and understand that the Savior had died for his sins yet. But we know he wouldn't even tell a teenage girl that he knew him. But we know that Peter was crucified upside down for his love for Jesus. You see, it's a question we all must answer. Do we truly love Jesus? Out of our love for Jesus is where we get the power to live for him. You may say, Pastor Dustin, duh. I'm in church every time the doors are open. I'm in Sunday school every time the doors are open. It's opening day of deer season and I'm here. Of course I love Jesus. But this is what this whole sermon comes to. This is what the Holy Spirit laid on my heart. My concern and the fear that the Holy Spirit has laid on my heart for Christians in the church today is that when we read John chapter 14 that we opened up with, and it says, whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. When it says, the one who loves me will be loved by my Father. And he says, if you love me, you'll keep my commands. Here's what my fear is. My fear is that when we see this and that when we read this, that I'm scared today that we make it more about obedience than we do love. Stick with me. Let me tell you something. Right here in the Word, Jesus says, if you obey me, you love me. If you love me, you obey me. And if you love me, I'll manifest my presence to you. If you love me, I will come live inside of you. If you love me, I'll give you the transforming power to change your life. But here's what we must understand. Just because we obey Jesus does not mean that we love Jesus. You may be going, huh? Listen. Jesus says that out of your love comes obedience. See, when you see somebody that's working hard to obey the commands and the laws, that don't mean they have a love for Jesus in their heart. But when you see somebody that has a love for Jesus in their heart, they're going to be obeying the commands and the laws. There's a difference. How do I know there's a difference? In Luke chapter 7, flip with me to Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7, we're going to start at verse 36. It says, when one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him, he went to the Pharisee's house. So Jesus has now gone to the Pharisee's house, and it says he reclined at the table. A woman in that town who lived a sinful life learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house. So she came there with an alabaster jar of perfume. She stood behind him at his feet weeping. She began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisees who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner. Jesus answered him, Simon, I have something to tell you. I love that. Simon didn't even verbally communicate that. He thought it. He was thinking. Let me tell you what Simon was thinking, Willie. You see, Simon was a Pharisee. And the Pharisees took pride in the outer appearance. The Pharisees took pride in obeying all the laws and obeying all the commands. Let me tell you why the teenagers today use a word that's called savage. They say, oh, man, that was savage. That means that you got somebody good. Jesus was savage. Let me tell you why he was savage. Because Jesus had 7 days a week to heal people. But it seems to me that every time I read the Gospels, he was healing on the Sabbath. You know why he was healing on the Sabbath? Because that was being savage towards those Pharisees. He could have healed on every other day that he wanted to, but he chose to heal on the Sabbath. The Pharisees were all about the law. They were all about following the rules. You see, this Pharisee invited Jesus into his house, and when he saw this sinner come running to Jesus, fall at her feet and begin to cry and begin to pour perfume on his feet, what Simon began to do right there was he began to work in his head and say, this is good. Because the council is going to love the fact that this man of God is allowing this sinner to do this to him. And I can't wait to run to them and tell them. I can't wait to go tell the council what this prophet has done. And while he's thinking that, Jesus says, Simon, let me tell you something. And see, what we see here is that the Pharisee that's there in that house invited Jesus into his home because he wanted the image. He invited Jesus into his home. Now listen, this Pharisee was all about obedience. All about obedience. These men that were Pharisees, they did everything they could to follow directions. They did everything they could to keep their image up. They followed all the laws, all the rules. They were even taught the scriptures. They knew all the scriptures. But there was zero love for Jesus Christ in his heart. And what we end up seeing is that this woman who had all this love for Jesus ran. She spilled the perfume. She cried tears. She washed his feet. And Jesus stands up and looks at her and says, your sins are forgiven. Now go. Now go live in my presence. You see, because she saw Jesus, she fell in love with Jesus at that moment. And at that moment, Jesus gave her the life-transforming power. And that woman got up that day, and she walked out of that house, and her life changed. And she changed and started living for Jesus because she fell in love with Jesus. But yet this Pharisee was sitting at this table in the presence of Jesus, much like church people sit on pews today in the presence of Jesus. All about image. All about making sure I'm doing what's right. All about making sure that I'm going to follow the rules and the guidelines. You would never catch this Pharisee out living in sin. You would never catch this Pharisee out doing what he shouldn't do. But Jesus got up from his table that day, and he walked out, and the Pharisee was still the way that he was when Jesus came in. There was no life-transforming power. There was nothing inside of his heart that changed him. Why? Not because he was obedient, but because he had no love. Up to that point, the woman that came in had not been living a life obedient to Jesus. But at that point, she fell in love with him, and she got up and walked out. And she continued to live in obedience out of love. You see, it's not simply obedience that brings the manifested presence of God into our lives. It's obedience out of love. We can obey without love. That's why the number one command is for us to love God. That's why our hearts... Well, let me ask you this. Let me tell you, this is what it all boils down to. What is our motivation in what we do? What is the reason why we do what we do? I know this is heavy. Hey, I'm gonna cut the worship team. Worship team, come ahead. Listen, I'm gonna sit right here for a second. Our churches, I'm not talking about HFA in particular, but I'm not going to back down. I am talking about us too. Our churches in America are full of Christians, are full of people that sit on the pew, and we do everything we can to obey the rules. We would never let our church people see us out in public living in sin. But yet we come to church, and our love for Jesus is so cold. Our love for Jesus is so non-existent that when we leave, there is no change. There are so many Pharisees sitting in the churches today that are all about keeping rules, all about keeping regulations, all about keeping laws, all about doing things the right way. You don't believe me? Have an open discussion about worship service, about styles of preaching. It's become more about the preacher this weekend at the men's conference said that it's become more about the ways, the methods, than it is the message. We have people in churches today, and this guy, I'm stealing what he said. I'm feeling led to right now. He said, we have people in our churches today that allow their personal preference to become the truth in their lives. We have people today that are sitting in churches that miss the substance of God because they don't like the container. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about our love for Jesus Christ. The rules and the regulations. Listen, when I love Jesus, I'm going to obey those rules and regulations. Not perfectly, but I'm going to work towards it. I'm going to continually, day after day, put a foot forward trying to live for Jesus. And Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians that when we see Jesus and see His glory with an unveiled face, that His manifested power begins to change and transform who we are. Me getting up and walking out of here and going home and trying to obey the rules in my own power does nothing to transform my life. There is zero power in that. Zero. All it does is chain me up and make me feel more in bondage. But Paul also wrote in 2 Corinthians that where the presence of the Lord is, there's freedom. When we realize that it's all about loving Jesus, it gives us a freedom. How much do we love Him this morning? Are we trying to obey more than we're trying to love? Or are we throwing everything else aside and say, I'm going all in. I'm going to love Jesus Christ. You may say, I don't know how to love Jesus Christ. Let me tell you how to love Jesus Christ. This woman in Luke chapter 7, the way that she found love for Jesus Christ was she realized that she was a mess. And she realized that Jesus Christ was going to transform her life. When I can look into my heart and not be like the self-righteous Pharisee and see that I'm a mess without God. And I know that because of what Jesus did on the cross, what the blood that He shed, now I can have eternal life. That's where my love comes from. And I most focus on that every single day. But when I continue to let my vision get off the cross, and I continue to let my sight get off Jesus, what ends up happening is then I end up trying to live the life without the love. How much do we love Jesus today? It's what Jesus asked Peter. It was the most important question. How much do you love me? How much do you love me? His love is what transforms our life. Our love for Him is what transforms our life. You may be sitting in here today. I want all eyes closed. I'm cutting it a little bit short right here. This is what I want to do. You may be sitting in here today and you may say, I have been coming to church for years. I have seen no progress in this part of my life. I have seen this chain, this bondage. I continue to fall for the same thing. This thing continues to weigh on my life. This depression, I cannot kick it. This anxiety, I cannot kick it. This addiction, I cannot kick it. Quit focusing on the addiction. Quit focusing on the depression. Quit focusing on trying to improve your life on your own terms. And focus on your love for Jesus Christ. The love that we have for Jesus is what's going to transform our lives. How much do we love Him? Have we been coming to church? Are we here following the rules, the regulations, the laws? Or are we here today because we love the Savior? Jesus, I'm calling on You right now, Father. Holy Spirit, speak to us. Holy Spirit, I'm asking You right now to touch these hearts that are in this room. Lord, Your number one command is to love the Lord God with all of our hearts, all of our souls, minds, strength. Lord, help us to love You. Through loving You is where we find our freedom. Through loving You is where we find the transformation. Through loving You is where we find life. Jesus. Jesus. I want to read this real quick. Second Corinthians chapter 3, verse 7. Now, if the ministry that brought death, which was engraved in letters on stone, came with glory, so that the Israelites could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of its glory, transitory though it was, will not the ministry of the Spirit be even more glorious? If the ministry that brought condemnation was glorious, how much more glorious is the ministry that brings righteousness? For what was glorious has no glory now in comparison with the surpassing glory. If it was transitory and came with glory, how much greater is the glory that we have which lasts? This is talking about the old covenant. There was so much glory that came with the commands and with the old covenant through Moses. But how much more is there glory that comes through Jesus Christ's blood that provides us freedom, that provides us righteousness? May we put our eyes on Him. May we love Him above all else. So as the worship team begins to play, they're going to lead us in a song. I ask you to put everything else aside. Ask yourself, how much do I love Jesus? If you feel like you need to come and pray this morning, come find somewhere to pray. We'll be here praying with you. If not, I ask you to stand and I ask us to worship God. To worship Him. Not for us, but because of our love for Him. How much do we love Him this morning? Stand with us, please.
I will be the one who worships all of my attention. I wanna be the one You're looking for. Are You looking for someone to love You? No, my heart is with You. I wanna be the one You're looking for.